the Lord on a Thursday night. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the opportunity. We give honor where honor is due. We thank the Lord for who he is. Amen. We give honor to our leadership, our pastors here tonight. Amen. I'm thankful to be a part of this family. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read very familiar scripture, very familiar story tonight. But I want to go where the Lord, amen, has prompted me to go to tonight. Daniel chapter 3. And then I'm going to read out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. And when you found that, I'll ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word. It's not my intention to keep you very long, but to deliver to you what the Lord has placed on my heart, I believe, for us as a body. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 21. If you found it, shout amen.
Amen.
Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments. And they were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he said, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your spirit and your power that is here. We pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this place as it already has been ordained in heaven. Father, I pray not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, let us speak what you would have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together as they bless your so far tonight.
Hallelujah.
I want to preach on the topic tonight. There is a purpose for this furnace. Amen. How many can truly say that the heat is on? Amen. It has intensified. We, amen, can honestly say the most of us, if not all of us, that when it comes to fiery trials, when it comes to warfare, that it indeed has intensified in the last several months. I can speak for myself that warfare has intensified mentally and physically and spiritually. I know as a corporate body, as a church, we are all facing the heat of the fire. But I come tonight to tell you that when we face the fire, we cannot take it personal. We cannot believe that we've done something wrong to deserve or we're being punished. But we have to keep in mind that whatever we're going through, that God has a purpose. God has a plan. That God is sovereign. I've come to remind Judah Tabernacle tonight that what doesn't kill us will only make us stronger. Amen. God's got a purpose. He has a reason that something is created or something exists. God has a reason why he's purposed it. Amen. He has a reason for it. It is a Hebrew word that means pleasure. desire a valuable thing. It may not seem like this matter is a valuable thing, that it's a matter of pleasure or desire. But you've got to understand that God knew we were going to face it before we even knew we were going to face it. That God already made the way where there seems to be no way. That He's a God, that He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see to it. Amen. And I've come to let you know on a personal level, and I've come tonight, amen, to let us know on a corporate level that the God that we serve is on the throne. He's never been removed. He's never been voted out. He's never been shaken. He's never, amen, fallen off. But He is on the throne tonight. This matter is in His hand. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and beneath. God will make a way for us. We realize in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, that there is a purpose for everything. Amen. And don't pull that up to everything. There is a season, a time to every purpose under the heavens. We may not like the season that we're in, but according to Ecclesiastes, there's a purpose for it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, very familiar. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge Him, because He shall direct our path. We must, amen, lean upon Him, which means to support oneself. We must have confidence and trust in God. We may not have the knowledge, the understanding. We may not have the mentality to understand why we are facing what we're facing. But we can understand this much, that God has a purpose in it. And if God has a purpose in it, we may not see it now, but we're going to see it when we come out on the other side. We may not have asked to be in it. We may not have wanted to be in it. But the truth of the matter is that this is where we are. This is the season that we're in. And I choose to rejoice in this season. I choose to lift my hands. I will look unto the hills for which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the amen, the maker of heaven and earth. And what you've got to understand is you don't need to let the furnace or the trial define who you are. According to the book of Daniel, we understand Genesis chapter 11. We did a Bible study. Nimrod built the city of Babel. Centuries later, after countless warnings from God through the prophets of Israel, they were taken in captivity. They were defeated by Assyria a little more than 100 years later. The southern kingdom of Judah was taken captive, amen, by the king of Babylon, just as God foretold. Daniel and these three Hebrew boys were in captivity. They decided that they were not going to eat the king's meat, that God was going to bless them even in the midst of their captivity. Let me pause and say that it doesn't matter what season you're in, it doesn't exempt God from blessing. It doesn't matter what we're facing. If God chooses to bless in this season, though it's difficult, there ain't a thing the devil can do about it.
Come on.
Hell cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, we're still blessed. We're still blessed. We may not feel it, but we're still blessed. It may not look that way, but we're still blessed tonight. And we refuse to take on the identification of lack. We refuse to take on the identification of amen, of sorrow. We refuse to take on the identification of fear and worry and anxiousness and pondering whether we're going to make it or not. But rather we choose to take on the identification that we are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. That the heavens are His throne and the earth is His footstool. That He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And He owns the hills of the cattle. Where I choose to focus on who He is and who He has called us to be. Oh, I feel like shouting even in the midst of an introduction tonight to let somebody know this thing didn't come to stay, but this thing came to pass. We're coming out of this stronger than what we did when we went in. Somebody bless His name in this house tonight. See, one of the tactics of from the enemy in their captivity first was to change who they were. The prince of the eunuchs gave them Babylonian captive names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah now found themselves at a point to where their very identification that glorified the God of Israel was now stripped from them. Hananiah, who meant Jehovah has favor. Mishael, who meant God is strength and almighty. Azariah, who meant God will be my help, my support, my protector, and my aid, was switched to Shadrach, the command of the moon god. Meshach, who is the moon god, and Abednego, the god of Orion and the keeper of the tablets of destiny. See, if we're not careful, then we'll start taking on, amen, like what Pastor said, amen, we are not, amen, to take on the battle, we are to give the battle. So we can't take on the name of the battle, we got to take on the name of Jesus, who is greater than the battle. And if the enemy can try to take away who we are, then he can take us in the midst of the battle. But you see, according to Scripture, we know the story. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard it preached that we got to keep our worship intact. We got to know who we're worshiping. These three decided that they could not bow to this image. I often thought when you had, I don't know how many, amen, occupants of Babylon were at that time. I don't have that number on me, but I imagine it was quite a few people. And you have all of Babylon now gathered and commanded to bow down to this golden image when they heard the orchestra. And all of a sudden, when they begin to hear the orchestra, you had countless of millions of people just bowing down to it because that's what they either were told to do or it was easy to do it because everybody else was doing it. And I thought, out of all of those people, I believe, and I'm going to say four because if Daniel was there, I don't believe Daniel bowed either, but out of all of those people, they decided not to bow. Do you think they stuck out?
Yes.
See, it's easier to compromise than to be the resistance. It's easier to say, okay, if everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. So it's easy for us to compromise in the midst of this battle and say, I'm just going to bow down to discouragement. I'm just going to bow down to worry. I'm just going to bow down to fear. I'm just going to bow down to this battle. But I've come to remind the enemy, we will not bow. Is there anybody that says, I refuse to bow? I'm not going to bow in my personal warfare, and I'm not going to bow in this corporate warfare. Amen. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is suffering it, and they're going through warfare. Amen. Here lately, I've been talking to others in the ministry as, amen, we've been traveling, and other pastors are getting news that they don't like, and other pastors are facing it, and other churches and other people are going through fiery furnaces. But I've come to remind hell tonight that there's a remnant group in Columbus, Ohio, that have deemed their mind, we will not bow, but we will stay true to the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. He has never lost the battle. He keeps getting better and better.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He really says good and good. You take it for whatever you want. You see, all the nobles were there at this dedication and ceremony. So all the elite was there. The king had an orchestra to play, and that's when they were to command to bow down. You see, the celebration began, the music signaled, amen, the political leaders, amen, all of the others to begin to bow down, and the rest like a mess. The celebration was never completed. You know why? Because the Chaldeans brought charges against the Jews. And the charges were as follows. They showed disrespect regard for the king's authority. They do not serve the king's gods, and they will not bow down to his image. They were upset and jealous. You see, because the Jews had decided they were going to bow to the one true God, and that's the God of Israel. So they took advantage of the situation. They interrupted the ceremony and began to report it. Amen. Everyone looked at the king to see how he would handle the situation. You see, you got to know that the king liked these boys. He loved them. The Bible tells us when we begin to look at it that he promoted them and blessed them in their captivity. So I think really in his heart, this is Matthew Wesley's commentary and opinion. I think in his heart, Sister April, he probably really personally did not want to throw them in the fire. But because he was the king, and because his word was to be respected, and because if he did not honor his word, then, amen, they would look at him and say, his word was with none avail. Amen. He decided that he would throw these boys in the fiery furnace like he commanded. And he commanded them to heat the furnace, to heat it 2,370 degrees Fahrenheit, 1,300 degrees Celsius. And they brought them to the top of that furnace. And when the men began to open up that furnace, the Bible said the flames were so hot that it slew the men that were to, amen, throw them in the furnace. Now let me get to where I want to go in this story. The Bible says they were bound hand and foot. They were bound in their ceremonious garments. They were bound with hosen. In the midst of the fire, they did not have the option to worship. They could not raise their hands.
Come on.
They could not move their feet. They were, I don't know if their, amen, their face was bound or not, but they did not have the availability to worship the way that they were used to worship. And I thought about that. And the Lord began to deal with me when I read that. And he said, it is the will of the enemy for our furnace to affect our worship. But you can't let it.
Amen, that's right.
You can't let it. He said to them, he said, is it true that you will not bow down? He gave them one chance to make it up. Gave them grace. Bow down now and you don't have to face it. Just compromise now and it'll all be over. Isn't that something when you're facing a fiery trial that the enemy whispers in your ear and says, if you'll just give in a little bit, then this will all be over. If you'll get, it's just a little thing. If you'll just compromise a little bit, if you'll doubt just a little bit. But I feel like those boys tonight, I don't want to even give an inch. Because if I give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile. And if I let him ride, he's going to take over the car. He can't even be a co-pilot because he'll be the pilot.
Right.
Amen? So here they are in the midst of that fire. And I thought to myself, God, it would have been a great miracle to keep them from it. They said, we're not quick to answer, but we're going to answer carefully to you, King. We will not bow, for we are persuaded that our God will deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. I'm persuaded that God can do the miracle. But if I don't see it right now, I still am not going to bow down to what I'm facing. So the Bible says, there they are in the midst of that furnace. Jesus could have delivered them before they went in it. Jesus could have delivered them out of it, which he did, and it would have been a great miracle. It's one thing for Jesus to show up before you get in the trial.
I want to be there with you the whole time.
And say, whew, I'm going to shield you from going in it. And sometimes when we're facing it, we pray to God and we wish he would have. Let's just be real. It's another thing for Jesus, amen, to bring us out of the fire. But it's another thing for Jesus to show up in the middle of the fire.
Going with you.
In the moment, nobody probably suspected. They thought God can keep them from it. Then they throw them in there and they thought they're going to perish. Nobody suspected that right in the middle of it, that's when God decided he was going to show up. Because I'll tell you, God is good like that. He'll wait till your back is against the wall. He'll wait till all your resources are gone. He'll wait till all your options are no more. And the only option you have is to trust him for who he is and to believe that I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I may not see a way out of this right now, but I trust him that even in the middle of it, he's going to work everything. So in the middle of it, when they first went in it, they couldn't worship like they could. But the Bible said that when Nebuchadnezzar came and he looked into the furnace, it was a different story. Nowhere, and I've said this before, but nowhere in Scripture do you find that they noticed and felt Jesus in the midst of their furnace. They never looked at it and said, ooh, I feel him in the room. Ooh, he just showed up. They never looked and said, hey, Jesus, we knew you was coming. Glad you made it. But what happened? Right in the midst of their bondage, right in the midst of their furnace, Jesus showed up. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom.
Yep.
I've got good news to bring to Judah Tabernacle on a Thursday night. Right in the middle of this furnace, Jesus is about to show up. We may not feel him, but he's showing up. We may not see him, but he's showing up. We may not hear him, but he's showing up. But rest assured, when Jesus showed up and the king looked in, he recognized who Jesus was. We may not see Jesus in the midst of our trial, but rest assured the devil's going to know the moment when the Son of God steps in our furnace. Oh, I feel like shouting tonight, because the Son of God is getting ready to step in. Hallelujah. And while Jesus showed up, the Bible said they were loose in the fire. Which means when he came, now I can worship. Now I can praise him like I want to. Now I can give him glory. You see, they were walking inside the fire. They were loosed, but the flames did not affect them. The fourth man in the fire, the Son of God. You see, the king did not call them by names, but he said, servants of the Most High God.
Amen.
They were not harmed. Their clothing was not singed. Neither did they have a smell about them. The only thing that got destroyed in the fire was the ropes that bound them. I've come to prophesy that in the midst of this fire, the only thing that's going to be destroyed is the weapons of warfare that the enemy has unleashed against this church. When we come out of this, when they came out of the fire, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the God of Israel had saved them and made an agree that they would worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were promoted after their fire. I've come to give you a word from the Lord. When we get out of this thing, we're not going to look like it. We're not going to smell like it. Nobody's going to know it. But God's going to get all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. But while we're in the middle of it, let me remind you, Isaiah 43, verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Look at somebody and say, don't fear.
Don't fear.
For I've redeemed thee. The word redeemed means to buy back, to be the next of kin to Mary. He said, I've redeemed thee, and I called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You can shout right there. Why do I have confidence in this fire? Because I belong to him. He's redeemed me. He formed me and squeezed me into shape. He determined who I was to become. He called me out. Amen. He gave me my position, my character, which is name in Hebrew. Verse number 2. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. We may feel like we're barely keeping our head above water, but we're not going to drown, people of God. Now look at this. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled against thee. I thought about it. Obviously, God knew that his people were to face a fire, or he would not have spoken to Isaiah. So this is an indication that no matter who you are, you're going to face a fire. But know this, you've got flood and fire insurance. And Jesus paid your policy. You don't owe a deductible. There's not a premium. God has already established it. It cannot be revoked. It cannot be overturned. It cannot be taken away from you. It cannot be canceled out. You are going to face the flood, but you're not going to drown. You will face the fire, but it shall not penetrate you. It shall not blister you. Neither shall the kindle, amen, it be kindled, or the flame be kindled against you. The word kindle means to consume or to become. It means, amen, brutish. Amen. So it means I'm going to face the fire, but it's not going to penetrate me. It's not going to cause me to blister. It's not going to consume my mind. It's not going to cause me to become it. It's not going to take me out, but God's going to take me out of it.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm trying to be good. Why could God say this? Because of verse number 3. This makes me shout.
Yeah.
For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He made all of those statements in verse number 1 and 2. And he said, and this is my pedigree. This is my resume. While I'm able to say this, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior.
Uh-huh.
So look at somebody and say, you got fire insurance.
You got fire insurance.
It's not going to take you out. So I said all that to say this. You say, okay. In the beginning, you said there's purpose for this furnace. What is it? I'm glad you asked. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his kingdom. Look at somebody say, Judah needs it suddenly.
Suddenly.
Come on, somebody prophesy.
Yes.
You know, you can prophesy that in the atmosphere. Say, I prophesy Judah is about to get it suddenly.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Let me pause and say, amen. That means if he's the Lord of hosts, he's the Lord of the battle. He's the Lord, amen. Amen, Jehovah Shammah. Amen, the Lord that commands the armies. The Lord that is ahead. Somebody ought to shout right there. Oh, second verse. Is this helping anybody tonight?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen.
But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer an offering unto the Lord, an offering in righteousness. So here is, you want the purpose of this fire? Let me give it to you. God is going to sit as a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire is different, amen, than a regular fire. Because a refiner's fire fuses together. It melts and it purges away. It extracts to purify, which means to bring bright. The Lord began to deal with me and he said, the next season or the next place that I'm taking Judah Tabernacle, I've got to make sure they're prepared for. I heard a thank you, Jesus, and one amen. So Judah didn't ask to go through the fire, but God has allowed us to go through the fire because it's preparing us for the next place in our destiny. You see, he is a refiner's fire, and that makes all the difference. A refiner's fire does not destroy like a forest fire. But a refiner's fire, amen, it doesn't consume completely like the fire of an incinerator. A refiner's fire refines, it purifies, it melts down the bars of silver or gold. It separates the impurities that ruin its value. It burns them up. And it leaves the silver and gold intact. He is like a refiner's fire. You see, those of you who are familiar with the process of refining gold know that gold is first placed in a crucible, and it's subject to intense heat. And the heat causes the gold to melt, and it causes the impurities to be separated and come to the top where they can be skimmed off. This process is repeated as many times as necessary to increase the quality or the purity of the gold. For example, 10 karat gold does not have to be heated as much or as long as 14 karat gold. 24 karat gold undergoes an even more intensive refining process. Because 10 karat gold is valuable, 14 karat gold is valuable, but 24 karat gold is more valuable and can withstand a lot more. It's not as pliable. It's not as bendable. In a similar manner, God is in the process of refining his church. He wants a pure, beautiful bride upon whom he can pour out his spirit and anointing and his power and his glory in this last hour. God desires to manifest himself through his church so that each of us is able to do the things that Jesus did, but even greater. You see, Christ longs for each member of the body to see what the Father is doing and to do it with him. And it is his will that we walk in victory. And it's his will that we are overcomers. These are his high priorities for the church or the bride in this hour. God has to remove the impurities from our life that holds us back from going all the way into the destiny that he's called us to go into. I believe that is it. That's his agenda for the body of Christ right now. That we have entered into a season where God is continuing to refine us. It can be a difficult and uncomfortable process. At times, we may feel like the gold. We feel like we're being melted. We experience heat. We experience adversity and discomfort. And this process is walked out differently in each of our lives. But for some of us, important relationships seem to fall apart. Others, misunderstanding and misjudgment come in. Some get falsely accused. Some go through financial strain. Some face sickness. Some face hardness. And we may find ourselves struggling once again with the emotions and the issues that we thought we had long since conquered. But the purifying process, amen, can be confusing to us who have been seeking the Lord, who have been drawing to the Lord, and have been asking God to take us into a deeper intimacy with him. We may not understand why God is allowing this to happen, but we've got to understand that he is who he says he is. We've got to cling to the words of Peter when he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that has come upon us, though some strange thing has come, amen, our way." We've got to realize that this fiery trial, this melting, this discomfort, this calamity, this test is only to make us better than what we was before. So you say, is there purpose for the furnace of Judah Tabernacle? Yes, there is. Did we ask to get into the furnace? Yes, we kind of did.
Yep.
Because we've been asking God, take us deeper.
Right.
We've been asking God, let our intimacy with you be greater than it's ever been.
God, we don't want to just to exist, but we want to be a church that sees the signs and the wonders to follow them that believe. We want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. We want to see demon spirits casted out in the name of Jesus. We want revival to come to a young generation of students who are attending our church. We want a man to be a beacon of hope and a lighthouse to the south side of Columbus. We want Care Connection to provide not only physical need, but spiritual need for our community. Oh yes, we ask for the Lord to take us deeper. We may not have understood what we signed up for. We may not have even read the small print or the dotted line. It's funny. Amen. I use that as an example. It's funny. I turned my truck in. The lease was up. And for those of those that, it's kind of funny. I never hardly drove it anyway. And I thought, well, amen, I'm paying a payment of a truck that I'm not driving. Amen. Very often, I'm just going to turn it in. I really wasn't in love with it. Sorry if the person that sold it is watching. But I really wasn't in love with the truck at all. And I thought, I'm going to turn it in. I was up on the payments. They came in and inspected it. I've got a reason for it. They came in and inspected it. Amen. And I dropped it off. Amen. At the dealership. And I thought, now I'm done with it. July, I'm done with it. I got home from the cruise. And Zach and Christy were wonderful about taking care of our home while we were gone. And they gave me a stack of mail. And I'm going through the mail. And there's a letter from Nissan. And I thought, ooh, they're going to pay me back. I owed them. And I said, this was on Sunday. That Sunday we got back. I said, $424. I said, that's about the amount of the payment. What in the world are you doing? So I called them the next day. I thought, I ain't paying this. I ain't paying this. I ain't doing it. And I called the gentleman. It was really nice. And I said, sir, I'm confused. I made my last payment in the 1st of July. I turned the truck in. There were no scratches. It only had 2,000 miles on it. So I know I didn't go over the mileage at all. And now you're telling me I owe you money. You should owe me money. Not hardly. I said, so what am I being charged for? He said, it's a disposition or fee. If I pronounce that right. I said, what in the world is that? He said, it's a fee to return your car. I said, I got to pay you to return the car. I said, that was never discussed when I signed the paperwork. He said, oh, it's right there on the lease. I said, well, nobody pointed it out to me. He said, you should have read it. Lesson learned. Let me just give you a life lesson. Do not sign something without reading it in its entirety. And I said that to say this. He said, it's right there in small print. There it is. See, sometimes we tell ourselves, I didn't sign up for this. And the Lord's like, yeah, you did. And it's funny, Trisha was, I had him on speakerphone in the living room, and Trisha was in the background. You are your treasure. Yeah. We ain't paying it. If she's watching, I love her. 20 years now. She said, we ain't paying it. And he said, well, sir, it's right on the lease. And I said, okay, thank you. Have a nice day. She said, what are you doing? I said, it's on the lease. I signed it. They're not going to give it up. We're just going to have to fork it over because it's in the lease agreement. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I didn't ask for this, and the Lord's like, yes, you did. I never said that the cross would not get heavy. I never said the heel would not be hard to climb. I know it makes a good second gospel song. I never said that you wouldn't have a weapon formed, but I did tell you it wasn't going to take you out. I think sometimes we think we're exempt from the rush from weapons being formed against us. But he said they will not prosper. Amen. Let me end with this. Amen. I'm going to give you 5 more minutes. Amen. Nobody raised their hand. I guess I'm 5:10. Amen. A young lady began to watch a silversmith. This silversmith held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up.
He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest. Is that not where we are right now? As to burn away all the impurities, and the woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot, that she thought again about the verses that said he sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered and said yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. For if the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. Get that. If it was left a little too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. And the woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He answered at her and smiled, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it, I know it's time to pull it out."
Come on.
Notice that the refiner had to keep his eyes on the silver, even though it was in the hottest of the flames. I've come to tell you, Judah Tabernacle, that even though we're in the heat of the battle, we're in the hottest of the flames, the Father has not kept his eyes off of us.
Come on.
But he's paying attention to us, Pastor. And in a moment, Pastor Jeff, when we feel like this is going to take us out, God says, now it's time to pull them out of the fire. Jesus is not going to stop until he sees his reflection in Judah Tabernacle.
Amen.
Until he sees his reflection in each of us. When Pastor and I were in conversation this week and he texted and said, "Would you mind preaching Thursday night?" Friday night I was in Cincinnati. Started a camp meeting in Cincinnati Friday. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "There's purpose in the furnace." I thought, "Lord, have mercy." He said, "There's purpose for the furnace." And when the pastor texted me this week and said, "Will you cover on Thursday?" The Lord reminded me. He said, "Tell Judah Tabernacle, there's purpose in the furnace. Not only are we going through a furnace corporately, but I can testify to you, even though you say all the things have gone good for you, you've been on vacation, you've been preaching, I've been going through warfare myself. And I'm thankful that God's personal." So not only are we in a furnace corporately, many of us are in a furnace individually. But I've come to remind you that it's not God's will for the furnace to take you out, but it's God's will to allow the furnace just to make you stronger. So if you're in this place tonight and you say, "Brother Matt, that's me. I feel like I'm in a furnace. I feel like I'm in a fire." Maybe you've been fighting mentally. Maybe you've been fighting at home. Maybe your family's under warfare. Maybe your job's under warfare. Maybe your health is under warfare. I've come to tell you that God has his eyes on us. He never promised that we wouldn't face it, but he did promise he would allow it to take us. We may be in the midst of the fire, but tell somebody, "I'm not going to get scorched. I'm not going to get burned up. It's not going to destroy who I am. When I come out of this fire, I'm going to have confidence to know that he will do what he said he would do." He's faithful. Pastor already said his promises are yea and amen. He maketh them rich. Amen. And he adds to them no sorrow. There's no sorrow in the promises of the Lord. So as you stand to your feet all over this place, to worship. First and foremost, I believe everybody looking around, we're all right with the Lord. I would hope so. But but if you're in this place tonight and your relationship with Jesus is not where it needs to be, if you can lay your head down tonight.